Early last month, Morning Edition began a series of winter diversions called The Armchair Gardener. At that time, you were asked to write in with stories describing the lengths to which you've gone to get a favorite outdoor plant through winter's cold. NPR's Ketzel Levine has been digging through your responses and offers these telling results.
You are ingenious, committed, passionate, fanatic, and with all due respect, totally crazed. Your plant strategies are amazing. Burying a waterbed heater under a tomato plant so you can have a few juicy ones in winter. Wrapping a forsythia in plastic in the middle of a windstorm to save a few buds. Wait, it gets better.
My name is C.L. Frenari, and I am an out-of-control plant person.
The madwoman from Massachusetts in a moment, but let's start in Indiana, at the home of Ed Royal. Now, here's a guy who likes his plants, but loves his hot tub, so he bought two big mock oranges to screen his view. The problem is the mock oranges are in pots, not in the ground, and that makes them more susceptible to cold. However, when Ed Royal bought the plants, he was warned that left out of the ground, they would probably die.
Then I got the idea that, well, I'm going to save these suckers. I'm going to put a quilt around them. I'm going to get me an infrared bulb and a reflector and a thermometer, and I'm going to wrap the pots. And I watch the forecast, and when it stays below freezing, I keep it lit and watch the thermometer.
Are you running out there looking at the temperatures in the middle of the night?
Not in the middle of the night, but before I go to bed.
You're barefoot in the 20-degree weather worrying about the mock orange?
Yeah, well, I don't talk to them or anything. I mean, I just take care of them.
The majority of listeners who wrote in feigned no such detachment from their plants. Consider the banana guy who wrapped his tree in a wool blanket, followed it with an electric blanket, insulated that in black plastic, wrapped the whole thing in green netting, and sealed it with duct tape. Then there's Terry Lawhead.
I lived in a place where it was so cold that the sap exploded in the trees. And I tried to plant some apple trees, and the deer ate them, and I tried to have a garden, and it just would get zapped. And so I was a typical rural person with a lot of trashy cars and pickups, and I had one car die. So I maneuvered it into this hillside and filled it up with dirt.
And turned that red rambler into a hothouse. Living on a northern Idaho hillside, Terry Lawhead set out to defy the extremes of temperature and grow food in his car. He built a wooden frame inside the car's doors to retain the dirt, left a roll-down window free to regulate the heat, and buried the lower half of the rambler.
And then as it got colder, I would throw blankets or sacks or something over the windshield to keep the heat from radiating out, and putting more dirt around it just to keep the heat in as much as I can. And, you know, this was getting kind of ridiculous, but I was having fun.
And how was your yield?
Well, I got carrots and lettuce up until the end of the year, and then it's just extremely cold, and everything just finally froze solid.
And then before you moved from the area, did you do something nice like have the car towed to a junkyard, or did you just leave it there?
I unfortunately just left it there. There were other kinds of things like that along the road. It wasn't the only car left on the hillside.
Many of you mulch, wrap, or build barriers around your tender plants. Others experiment with household appliances. Joshua Bloom's father once used the family blow dryer on the ice-laden branches of a dogwood tree. Not recommended. Quite a few of you simply preferred to bring the garden inside. Here's Michael McGuckin from Belen, New Mexico.
Yeah, I've got my bay laurel trees here. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 Italian stone pines. I've got 3 New Mexican redwoods. I've got 2 butterfly bush. I've got 3 Mexican sage.
Are you in a huge room?
Oh, no, this is one of the smaller rooms in the house. I twisted my ankle trying to walk around the plants last week. And this is just one room. Out in the living room, I've got bigger trees. I've got tropicals. I mean, I'm just up to my ears in plants.
And in another part of the country, someone else's garden has been hauled inside.
Well, at this time of year, let me put it this way. In order to eat his dog chow, my dog has to duck around an Alamanda plant and underneath a pot of bamboo mulligrass.
That's our out-of-control plant person, C.L. Fornari from Massachusetts. Given that her husband risks a hernia moving her plants, I had to ask her why.
Something about a plant will capture my attention, whether it's its form or its texture, and I just want to be with that plant for a while. I just want to experience it. I want to own it. With so many beautiful and intriguing plants to be grown, why let something like hardiness stand in the way?
Hardiness, at least the way we're using the term, refers to a plant's ability to withstand cold. Ironically, the plant most indulged by our listeners is also a fairly hardy one, the fig tree. Figs are root hardy to -0, but their branches can die back at 10, 15 degrees. So come late fall, countless fig trees across America are weighed down till they are parallel with the ground, then covered in hay, topsoil, newspaper, you name it, all for the love of plants.
I learned how to garden from my dad, and my dad always said, your plants are your friends.
Consequently, Catherine Shipper of Seattle cannot bear to leave her tender charges to die.
One year we had a cold spell that came on kind of unexpectedly, and I rushed home from work, and I dragged all the plants in a hurry, and I didn't take the time to rinse off the containers. And unbeknownst to me, there were slugs that were hiding under the rim of the containers. And the aphids all hatched and the gnats all hatched, and so there were clouds of little gnats flying around in the living room. The slugs, I think it took a few days for them to wake up, and there were these little silver trails all over the living room carpet.
So what'd you learn?
This year I learned to rinse off my containers.
No slugs, but more stories from other plant-possessed gardeners at the Talking Plants website. The address, npr.org. For NPR News, in Portland, Oregon, I'm Ketza Levine.